This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
East Coast braces for Matthew. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal. Along with Jennifer Koschenka, it is Thursday, October 6th. Welcome aboard. Here's what's up this hour.
After leaving a trail of destruction in the Caribbean, Hurricane Matthew is chasing residents of Florida and South Carolina from their homes. We'll have the latest.
A former naval officer is being charged with stealing top secret information from the National Security Agency.
Is the end near for the latest Samsung smartphone? A replacement for the Galaxy Note 7 is being blamed for an airplane evacuation.
And if you've got a young adult in the house looking for direction, we'll have a list of the best jobs in the IT and engineering fields.
So you're talking about the best jobs in America, more or less, you know, high growth outlook, high pay, and just great jobs that are going to be really benchmarks and backbones of the economy in the future.
Kyle Kensing at CareerCast.com on the IT and engineer gigs with the best pay and high growth prospects. That list in about 20 minutes. Hundreds of thousands of people have hit the road in Florida and South Carolina as Hurricane Matthew roared closer to the U.S., after leaving more than 25 people dead and carving a path of destruction across a good portion of the Caribbean. Given the traffic, Florida Governor Rick Scott wants all tolls in the affected areas suspended, including on highways like the entire Florida Turnpike and Alligator Alley. His warnings were dire.
If Hurricane Matthew directly impacts Florida, there will be massive destruction that we haven't seen in years.
Tropical storm conditions are expected to reach parts of the Florida coast early today, intensifying to hurricane conditions in some areas later on. John Cangelosi of the National Hurricane Center.
It could move literally along the coastline. So when we talk about landfall, it's not that it's going to be make landfall in one specific city. It may literally move all along the Florida East Coast.
Florida, Georgia, South Carolina and North Carolina have declared states of emergency. As of last night, airlines had canceled nearly 1,600 flights through tomorrow. In anticipation of Matthew, that number could easily rise. More now on what's up with Hurricane Matthew from Howard Altschul, head of a company called Forensic Weather Consultants. He's based in Albany, New York. He's with us live this morning. Howard, your take on Matthew?
You know, Matthew overnight has been intensifying and starting to show a lot more organization. We're looking at satellite images, and the hurricane eye is actually contracting a little bit, which means there's a sign that it's starting to strengthen, get better organized. The National Hurricane Hunter aircraft have been flying in, and they're finding that the winds have increased overnight, a really bad sign, which is consistent with the computer models. And we're thinking it's going to be up to a Cat 4, you know, later today.
All right. So the path you see for Matthew at this point would be what, Howard?
Well, the National Hurricane Center was pretty much right on, I think, with bringing this right along the coast. Now, here are the implications to that. When we have a landfall that is normally on the southern coast of Florida in one area, you have a lot of damage, but that's kind of isolated to a smaller area, you know, maybe 30, 40, 50 miles or so. With this, the eye wall, strongest part of the hurricane, actually expected to be on the coast and then ride the almost three quarters of the Florida coast northward to Georgia and South Carolina. That's going to expand this area and create, you know, the worst wind conditions over a much, much larger area. So now we're talking a very widespread area of devastation, assuming these 125 to 135 mile an hour winds materialize. So it's going to be a really bad deal as those winds just work up the coast. And I think the hurricane is going to get larger as well. So the wind fields, damaging winds, are going to spread much further west, which is why even tropical storm force conditions are expected as far as west is Tampa, Florida, Sarasota, and then the West Gulf coast of Florida.
Wow, does this thing look like others we've seen?
You know, there are some. It's very odd that it's moving from south to north, I got to tell you. To parallel the coast like that, if it ends up doing that, that's going to be a very rare thing that I haven't really seen myself. Usually they come in perpendicular. This is going to be parallel to the coast, which, you know, not only has those huge wind implications, but now a very, very large, significant storm surge. So I've never seen anything like it, especially with this kind of intensity. I'm afraid people are not taking the proper precautions. I know people that are just starting to evacuate, and the highways are going to be already jammed. And, yeah. You know, hurricane conditions increasing later today.
We're speaking live this morning with Howard Outschul. His company is called Forensic Weather Consultants. We're talking about Hurricane Matthew. It's, you know, early October. Is this considered somewhat late in the season?
This is actually right in the middle of the peak of hurricane season. It runs until November 30th. So we are right in, you know, right in the middle toward the end of the peak, right? The worst part of the hurricane season, when the Atlantic Ocean waters are warmer, you get the right situation where, you know, these tropical lows come off of Africa. And this is one of them. It's had, you know, weeks, literally weeks to strengthen and organize.
Yeah.
And really, it's been much, much more intense than expected.
Is it true that there's another storm behind this one?
Yeah, there is, but I'm not overly concerned about that.
Okay.
Weird thing about this storm, numerous models are actually hooking it and maybe affecting Florida twice over
that.
The next week. But the big deal is going to be over the next 3-4 days.
Hmm. What is this new tool you've got, by the way, from your company, the Forensic Hurricane Reports?
The Forensic Hurricane Reports are based on what's occurred with Hurricane Sandy, Hurricane Katrina. In the insurance industry, there's a big issue with what caused the damage. You know, was it the strong winds? Was it the surge? You know, the closest wind observations are usually like 30 miles away if they're even, you know, up and running in a hurricane. So we developed this patent-pending process where using thousands and thousands of observations every hour, any homeowner, any insurance agent, any CAT team can go to our website, hurricanereports.com, after the storm, type in any address, and what it'll do is it'll extract the wind information and tell you what the sustained winds were every hour, what the wind gusts were every hour, and what the storm surge was every hour. So that should leave no question and no arguments about what caused the damage. You'll now know exactly for your house or condominium or whatever, mm-hmm, what those wind speeds were, how strong they were, what caused the damage. And I think this is going to be used enormously after the storm during insurance claims. So hurricanereports.com, it's up and running now. Some sample reports from Hermine are up there. I think it's a game changer for the entire insurance industry.
Very good. Good luck with it, too, by the way. Much appreciated. Always enjoyed talking with Howard Outschul. Heads up a company called Forensic Weather Consultants in Albany, New York. 14 minutes now after the hour. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning. Glad you're with us. Tell me if you've heard this one before. The FBI has charged a government contractor with stealing classified secrets from the National Security Agency. We learned yesterday that a 51-year-old guy from Glen Burnie, Maryland, named Harold Martin, a former Navy officer, is being charged. It's reportedly part of an investigation to how U.S. computer spying tools were taken from the NSA. White House spokesman Josh Earnest says President Obama is monitoring the developments.
The federal government is reminded of how important it is to be vigilant about protecting the national security of the country, and information that is relevant to our national security.
It is the second black eye for the NSA and one of its main contractors, Booz Allen Hamilton, after Edward Snowden leaked stolen records 3 years ago. Mr. Martin's arrest came after a group calling itself Shadow Brokers claimed online to have a large cache of files it was looking to sell, files that appeared to be NSA spying tools. Boy, and the news has just gotten worse for Samsung. A Galaxy Note 7, the kind of cell phone that's been recalled for overheating batteries, began popping and smoking yesterday aboard a Southwest Airlines flight, forcing the plane to evacuate while on the ground in Louisville. The worst part may be that the device was apparently one of the replacements that Samsung had declared safe. Remember, this phone was highly regarded when it first hit the market in late August, before reports about batteries catching fire. Kevin Fletcher is captain of the Louisville Metro Arson Bureau.
The person had powered down the phone and placed it in their pocket. It began to heat up. They took it out of their pocket. It was extremely hot. Then they dropped it on the floor in front of their seat.
Now there are questions about the future of the Note 7 as more reputation damage rains down on Samsung. And the timing is awful for Samsung, too. It came a day after Google unveiled its own brand new Pixel handsets. Yesterday's incident happened on a morning flight from Louisville to Baltimore. No one was injured, but the flight was canceled. 21 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Hurricane Matthew's pounding portions of the Bahamas and is expected to strengthen as it approaches Florida, where some 2 million people have been told to evacuate. John Cangelosi of the National Hurricane Center says Matthew is still a Category 3 storm, but it's expected to intensify and again become a dangerous Cat 4 hurricane.
It could move literally along the coastline. So when we talk about landfall, it's not that it's going to be make landfall in one specific city. It may literally move all along the Florida East Coast.
Hurricane Matthew has left at least 23 people dead in Haiti, a toll likely to climb as authorities reestablish contact with the hardest hit areas where the damage is catastrophic. A contractor for the NSA has been arrested on charges that he illegally removed highly classified information and stored the material in his home and car. White House spokesman Josh Earnest says Harold Martin of Glen Burnie, Maryland, was arrested by the FBI in August after he admitted to having taken government secrets.
This is certainly a situation that the Department of Justice takes seriously, as evidenced by their complaint.
A defense attorney says Martin did not intend to betray his country. The Obama administration is setting a goal of eliminating traffic fatalities and injuries within the next 30 years. Transportation Department officials laid out a plan that would focus on promoting efforts such as increasing seatbelt use, the use of rumble strips, and campaigns against drunk and distracted driving. The department says self-driving cars and other advanced technologies make it possible to achieve the zero deaths goal. Globally, people's health is improving and life expectancy is rising. The world population has gained more than a decade of life expectancy since 1980, rising to 69 years in men and 74.8 years in women. Among main contributors to this were large falls in death rates for many diseases, including HIV, AIDS, and malaria. And Kane versus Pence just didn't spark the interest like Trump versus Clinton. Only 35.6 million people watched the vice presidential debate on Tuesday night, less than half the 84 million who watched the first presidential debate. It was also on the low end of the spectrum for VEEP debates.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. 35.6 mil. That's still a big number, though.
It is a big
number.
You know,
beat all those American Idol numbers that were super high in, I don't know, 10 years ago or whatever. All right. Thank you, Jen. It's 23 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Got a young adult in the family who's looking for a career path. Information technology and engineering withstood the job market impact of the Great Recession. Now that the employment landscape has started to improve, IT and engineering are two of the most lucrative sectors for job seekers, according to a new survey by the job site CareerCast.com. Kyle Kensing is the online editor. Kyle, what do we have?
Top on the list is a data scientist, and this is such a neat job to me because it's so unique, and it's really just kind of fledgling right now in terms of what it can do, what it can be. So many different industries can use a data scientist, and that's part of the reason that it has a high growth outlook. Part of the reason it's competitive salary, too, where an annual median salary pushing $130,000 because, you know, businesses can rely on data scientists. marketing, a computer programming company, pretty much anything that needs big data analyzed, a data scientist fits the bill there.
Wow. What's the growth rate for that?
That's a 16%, so you're looking at a pretty strong growth outlook here for the next 8 years.
Wow. What else made the list?
Information security analyst is one that was actually new to the jobs rate report this year. It was second in terms of our IT and engineering jobs and third overall this year, 18% growth outlook, annual median salary over $90,000. And that's, again, another job where you have the potential to work in many different industries. Basically anything that has important and sensitive data stored, especially with more and more organizations moving towards cloud technology, It's going to be a really important job here in the future.
What kind of college degrees do you need for those? Any idea?
Yeah, most of these require a bachelor's degree or some sort of special certification. So you're not talking about a ton of schooling necessarily needed for these. A lot of the healthcare jobs, and that's the other sector that was really strong throughout the recession and came out since the recession ended as being, particularly high growth. But with most of those healthcare jobs, you're looking at going to school beyond just a bachelor's degree. With all of these IT and engineering jobs, the bachelor's degree is pretty much the minimum that you need to get started.
All right, what else made the list with high growth and high pay?
Yeah, getting away from the IT side a little bit of it, on the engineering side, petroleum engineer, 10% growth outlook, which in terms of these jobs kind of scales to the lower end, but an annual median salary, $129,000. Big reason for that, obviously, petroleum plays such a huge part in our energy and our transportation industries.
Thanks, Kyle. Kyle Kensing, online content editor at CareerCast.com. It's 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Trips to the post office, as you know, are never convenient. So why not get postage right from your desk with Stamps.com? Stamps.com even gives you special postage discounts you can't get at the post office, including first class, priority mail, express, international, and more. You'll never pay full price for postage again. Here's how Stamps.com works. Using your own computer and printer, buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package. Then just hand your mail to the mailman or drop it in a mailbox. It's that easy. It's no wonder over 600,000 small businesses are already using Stamps.com. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Get started with Stamps.com today. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com and enter Deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Glad you're with us on this Thursday, October 6. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Hurricane Matthew approaches Florida. A replacement Samsung smartphone smokes out a Southwest Airlines flight. Government contractor charged with stealing top secret info. The Wall Street Journal says Donald Trump contributed to prosecutors investigating him. The twice-yearly blockbuster airfare sale by Southwest Airlines ends at midnight tonight. In sports, Giants dismiss the Mets in the NL wild card, Cardinals and Niners in Thursday night football, and how male Arctic ground squirrels are giving men a bad name. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, Donald Trump may have one last tax card to play, and it's a doozy. His 2015 tax return. In little-noticed comments after his first debate with Hillary Clinton, the Republican presidential candidate suggested he would make that return public within weeks. Those were comments not lost on Wall Street Journal tax policy writer Richard Rubin, who says Mr. Trump's latest tax return is likely in the final stages of preparation. Many taxpayers with complicated finances seek automatic 6-month extensions from the IRS. That would make his due date October 17. 11 days from now. Rich, what have you found?
I looked back at a comment that he made after the first debate last week, and he was asked about whether he paid income taxes, and his answer was non-responsive but interesting. He said, "My current returns will be released as soon as they're complete." Now, the campaign wouldn't say exactly what he means, and it could mean that he's referring to this, the audits being complete that he's talked about before. But it could also refer to his 2015 return. Most taxpayers with the kind of complicated finances that he has don't file until the middle of October because they get the automatic six-month extension from the IRS and the April 15th date that the rest of us are used to thinking about. And so he's got this 2015 return out there, and maybe we'll see it, maybe we won't. But it raises some really interesting possibilities about what he could do with that return.
Okay, so yeah, just... I think you alluded to it. Just because he files it or might file it doesn't mean we'll get to see it.
No, he would certainly still have to choose whether to release it. But here's the interesting thing. You can put within reason what you want on your tax return. You don't have to take every deduction you're able to. You don't have to claim every break you can. You can create a sort of politically palatable return.
Yeah.
And release it. And we saw Mitt Romney do this in a smaller way in 2012, where he released his 2011 return and didn't take all the charitable deductions that he could have because he said he wanted to make sure he hit this sort of minimum 13% tax rate. And so, you know, it's possible. We're not going to – you can't guarantee anything with what Trump says about his tax returns until you see it, but it's certainly possible that he could do something similar.
Mm. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal tax policy writer Rich Rubin. His piece is called Trump's October Surprise. It could be his 2015 return. What are the things you think we might learn if, in fact, he files and if, in fact, it's released?
Oh, I think we learn all sorts of things. I think one thing to think about is that we often think a lot about what his tax rate is, you know, which is sort of think of it as a fraction where the numerator is the tax he paid and the denominator is his income. But to me, what's really interesting is that income level. Like, is it, as we saw in these 1995 documents, negative? Is it positive? How big is it? All of that. You're not going to learn his net worth. You won't learn all of his financial transactions, but you'll see that sort of summary kind of document about what his income was for 2015, if we see it.
Right. Certainly he's got to be feeling the pressure at this point, right? Didn't you say it's been 1976 or so since a candidate did not file tax returns?
So, look, normal candidates do things that they think will help them in response to regular political risks. So if he thinks, you know, any candidate who thinks they're getting hurt by this, by not releasing, might release. Trump is not a normal political candidate. If we've learned anything from the past year and a half, it's that. So we don't know. There's one really interesting possibility, though, which is that taxpayers have 3 years from the date they filed to amend their returns. So whatever you put out for public consumption doesn't actually have to be your final return with the IRS.
Oh.
It can be, you can sort of go back and take more aggressive positions later.
You could spiff it up, I think, as you say in the story, right?
Yeah.
Is it too close to the election at this point to even bother? Like, he's been answering these questions for months, if not a year or so, about whether or not he's going to release.
Yeah, that's a political calculation that he's going to have to make. Is what benefit does he get from releasing anything? What costs are there from releasing something? It certainly would take, depending on how much of the return he released, it would certainly, if he did do it, it would lead to a bunch of questions. And so, does he want to? How many news cycles does he want to spend dealing with those questions? And how do you weigh that against the costs of dealing with news cycles about the questions that he's trying to answer about the returns and the lack that are out there, or the lack of returns that are out there from recent years?
Thanks, Rich. Wall Street Journal tax policy writer Richard Rubin. Separately, by the way, the Wall Street Journal has an exclusive story today that says Mr. Trump has throughout his career given campaign contributions to state attorneys general while they weighed decisions affecting his business. Records show Mr. Trump, his family and associates donated in particular to attorneys general in New York from Robert Abrams in the 1980s through incumbent Eric Schneiderman. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Welcome into a Friday Eve. Glad you're with us. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, there's no doubt that Tuesday's dramatic wildcard win for the Toronto Blue Jays was something to celebrate, but players should be careful not to celebrate too hard so as not to injure themselves. It's too late for Blue Jays catcher Russell Martin, however, who, according to Sportsnet magazine, split open the pinky finger on his left hand, giving a high five after the game. Good news, though. though, as both a major league catcher and a former Canadian youth hockey player, a gashed pinky is no big deal for Martin, who had the wound stitched up and will be ready to play game one of the ALDS this afternoon. As a precaution, however, the Jays may want to switch to soft fist bumps when celebrating for the rest of the postseason.
How does a guy with probably gnarly catcher hands,
yeah,
like Russell Martin,
right,
split his pinky giving a high five?
Right, you would think he's got like a hard shell basically,
yeah,
on that hand that's catching, you know, those 90 mile an hour fastballs,
right,
every day.
Right. Did he like high five Edward Scissorhands? Was he in attendance last night? That,
yeah,
just strikes me as odd.
Yeah, yeah. I hope one of the pitchers didn't have some foreign substance, like a razor blade or something in there. He's doctoring up the baseballs, you know?
Here comes Conspiracy Mike.
Here we go. Well, my team's out of it. I'll throw out all the conspiracies that I want.
Nobody cares.
Yes. And an Australian man, Gordon, wound up with more dogs than he started off with after posting about his missing dog on Facebook. Luke Neville shared a picture of his pug Bella after she went missing. That night, Neville returned to his porch to find that someone had dropped off another pug in response to his post. Neville later received word that Belle had been found and taken to a local pound where he eventually picked her up. He spent some time enjoying the company of both Bella and not Bella, as he came to call the strange pug, before ultimately finding its owner.
Very nice.
See, here's the thing about those pugs. I mean, I'm not a dog expert, but I've seen a lot of pugs, and they all pretty much look the same to,
mm-hmm,
me. Anyway,
okay,
they all kind of have that same kind of light brown coloring with a dark brown face, and I could see how that confusion could be made.
Yeah. My wife, by the way,
yeah,
anticipating the death of our current pets,
okay,
for some reason,
is already lining up new ones?
Yes, has announced that we will be getting the Nova Scotia Duck Tolling Retriever as,
okay,
our next dog.
All right.
I don't know why she does this. This is a list of about 13 dogs that she would like to replace our current ones when they expire.
Always a full house. The,
yeah,
Gordon the Deal House, always full.
She has guaranteed there will always be a dog. Thank you, Mike. 14 minutes now in front of the hour. Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at dell.com/radio. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a health and wellness update, and it's brought to you by Rite Aid. Get your flu shot at Rite Aid today, free with most insurance plans. Age restrictions apply in some states. See your Rite Aid pharmacist for details. Good news, if you think you might outlive your money in retirement, you probably won't have to plan beyond living past 115 years old. New research seems to indicate that human beings do have an expiration date, and its max appears to be 115. When life expectancy continues to increase, maximum lifespan has not, according to a team at the Einstein College of Medicine in New York. Researchers say improvements in survival with age tend to decline after age 100, and that the age at death of the world's oldest person has not increased since the 90s, meaning even under perfect conditions without disease, everything dies eventually. And it's not that there's some genetic time bomb, but more that the mechanisms for keeping the body going simply wear out. 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Put in the eye of Hurricane Matthew is over the Bahamas, and forecasters expect the storm to intensify and again become a Category 4 storm as it approaches Florida today. Coastal areas are being evacuated all along the southeast, a move that South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley says has been going fairly well.
We have been very, very appreciative of the way South Carolinians have responded to this evacuation, because we saw them start early. They've been very patient. Everything seems to be going smoothly.
Meanwhile, the commander of U.S. forces in the Caribbean says 9 military helicopters are being sent to Haiti in response to the government's request for help with damage from the hurricane. A Southwest Airlines flight was evacuated prior to takeoff from Louisville yesterday when a passenger's Galaxy Note 7 caught fire, landing the company in a new controversy. What's worse, the owner says the phone was a replacement for one of the original phones, which were recalled due to complaints of exploding batteries. Kevin Fletcher is with the Louisville Metro Arson Bureau.
The person had powered down the phone and placed it in their pocket. It began to heat up. They took it out of their pocket. It was extremely hot. Then they dropped it on the floor in front of their seat.
Samsung says it's working with authorities and Southwest to recover the device and confirm the cause. When you bite into that sushi or breaded fish, there's a 20% chance you're not eating what you think you're eating. That, according to ocean conservation group Oceana, which claims that 20% of seafood sold worldwide is mislabeled. The group says high-priced fish on menus is often swapped out for something cheaper. But the National Fisheries Institute, a nonprofit organization dedicated to education about seafood safety, sustainability, and nutrition, criticizes Oceana's research methods. And if you've always wanted to sleep at Taco Bell, and who doesn't, now's your chance. The chain is going to turn one of its Ontario restaurants into a full-fledged Airbnb for a night to celebrate the launch of its new Steak Double Dia. Taco Bell Canada is inviting one lucky superfan and three friends to spend the night at the restaurant. Festivities include playing games, watching TV, and, of course, eating a lot.
Nice. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Apparently, it's important to study the behavior of Arctic ground squirrels. Thanks to research from Northern Arizona and the University of Alaska Fairbanks, you're now going to hear about how female squirrels do most of the work while the males do far less, mostly just lazing around. You'll hear the comparisons with the often uneven workloads that some human men and women face. Researchers found overall female squirrels spent less time above ground than males, which makes sense because they feed and care for their young in underground burrows. But while males spent more time above ground in total, females were more active while they were up there. But the lead researcher says maybe squirrels aren't actually the best metaphor for gender inequality in people. That's because, for one thing, male squirrels don't contribute to parenting in any way. And that's probably a good thing, given their predilection for occasionally killing their offspring. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Hey, thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. For more from This Morning Show, check us out at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.